Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
During a second quarter timeout, Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown got into, let's just call it, a bit of a disagreement. Morris kind of pushes Brown. The players had to be separated. They're both chattering after. Now, this comes after Kyrie, on Wednesday, credited a late December team meeting that he said helped clear the air. I don't know how clear the air looks there, Scotty. It looked kind of crowded to me.
It's not clear at all.
How big a deal was this?
You know what? When you got that much talent on a team, there's going to be problems. And whether or not it's because of minutes or shot selections or whatever, guys are not playing hard. There's a lot of guys on that team that can be an all-star. There's a lot of guys on that team that are playing to be an all-star. I think that, you know, Coach Stevenson has a bit of a problem as to how he's going to rectify this going forward.
That's actually Coach Stevens, not Stevenson, Scottie Pippen.
Adelaide Stevenson.
Yeah. Coach Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. Got Brian Robb alongside as well. B-Robb, who covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, who is producing today's show. So that is Scottie Pippen on ESPN's The Jump, talking about Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown getting into the heated discussion in the loss to Miami. On the second of the back-to-back, what felt like to me they kind of undid all the goodwill that they had in the four-game homestand and the win over the Indiana Pacers the night before. It feels like this team can't get out of their own way. And the other thing that it felt like it undid is after the win against the Pacers, you had Kyrie Irving talking about a little bit more about the closed-door discussion that took place after the loss to Milwaukee before Christmas. And said that it was a much-needed discussion. We had to hash some things out. We weren't at rock bottom, but, you know, we cleared the air. We fixed a lot of things. And then this happens. And granted, it does happen in the NBA from time to time. But it just feels like there's continued discourse with this Celtics team. And it's just, I don't know, man. Like, they can't get the hell out of their own way. And it's been frustrating. You know, they're still miring here in the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. We all had high expectations, rightfully so, for this team going into the season, and it's just you have this after a great night against Indiana.
Yeah, I think that they are disappointed, obviously, that this season hasn't been the special season that they thought it would be. And it sort of reminds me of the guy that is in a free agent year and is a baseball player and goes up to the plate and says, you know, well, if I can just have this 1-3 homer game, that's going to turn my whole season around. So every time they go up there, they're looking to hit a home run. And I think that's the thing with the Celtics. I think they just need a little bit more consistency and a little bit more equanimity in terms of their approach, because it's okay. We're fans, right? We're fans. We're media members. We overreact to things, good and bad. We ride the roller coaster, the emotional roller coaster. But you don't want your team to do that. And you don't want the leaders on your team to do that. And I feel like that's what's happening with the Celtics. You know, they play really well. You set a season high for assists. You beat the Indiana Pacers. And it's like, oh, well, we figured it out. You know, that team meeting was it. That was the panacea. Then you go and lose second night of a back-to-back on the road, which is always tough, to the Miami Heat. And suddenly guys are pushing each other. And there's like, you know, I feel like there have been far too many expressions of abject disappointment this year. Like, you can talk about that stuff internally, but I just think externally, after losses, there's been far too much expression of really, like, real abject disappointment in the way the season is going or other people are playing, and they just can't ride that roller coaster up and down based on wins and losses, because otherwise you're not going to have any consistency.
Yeah, but it's just been this locker room thing that's continued. And how much I, you know, one of the guys that I continue to think is skating here a bit is the coach, is Brad Stevens. Like, okay, yeah, the players have to take some personal responsibility here, but
yeah,
I don't know, how much did he have his finger on the pulse of this team that got a game away from going to the finals last year? Did he maybe assume too much, thinking that guys like Brown, like Rozier, would just accept a role on the bench and just be okay with it?
Well, I mean, you know, look, keeping those guys wasn't his choice. I mean, that's, you know, Danny Ainge's choice. And Danny Ainge basically says to him, hey, now you have to make it work. So that's the part, to me, that's a little unfair to Brad. I mean, even if Brad realizes, like, oh, you know, Terry's much better when he starts, that was obvious, I don't know how great Terry's going to be in this role. I mean, what can he do? You know, Rozier's on the team. And so it's up to the players to accept their roles, obviously. I think the team has an absence of true leadership. I think there are guys that are trying, and they're trying to do it the best way they know how to lead. But I don't think that this team has, like, true leadership. You know, I think there's guys that are really vocal and they're trying, but some of those guys have maybe sort of taken the leadership mantle away from a guy like Al Horford, who's a much more even-keeled guy. And I think this team would be a lot better off reflecting the personality of Brad Stevens and Al Horford, both very even-keeled guys, than reflecting the personalities of Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, and Kyrie Irving, who I think are a little more emotional and a little more volatile.
Name names. Who are you talking about? Kyrie?
What are you talking about?
When you're talking about, like, a guy that is trying to be a leader but is taking away some of the stuff that Al Horford has been. Like, who do you think is trying?
I think Kyrie's definitely in that group, you know, because he's the best player on the team, and it's natural for the other guys to look to him. I think he's been one of the, you know, the spokespeople of the team. It seemed like he was really involved. B-Rob can correct me here. In the team meeting, I think he's been very vocal about, you know, we're not as good as we think we are. I think he's been very vocal about his own disappointment in the performance of the team and what the team needs to do in terms of guys accepting roles. So, yeah, I think he's tried to take on a bigger leadership role, and maybe Al's faded a little to the background. I just think, look, ultimately the leader of this team probably needs to be Brad Stevens, Greg Popovich style, where the buck stops with him. He's the leader of the team, because I think they need to reflect his personality, which, as I mentioned before, is very measured, very even-keeled, instead of just sort of vacillating back and forth between, you know, we can do whatever we want when we step on the court, we're the best team in the league, to this is so disappointing, these young guys don't get it, I don't understand why we're not better.
Brian Rubb covers Celtics, Boston Sports Journal. What did you make of this the other night, B-Rubb? Was this just a veteran challenging a young player in a frustrating game, or is this indicative of a bigger problem behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys have hit well on it so far in terms of, you know, this kind of stuff happens. If you remember, even a couple years ago, you know, Marcus Smart had that blow up on the bench with a Celtics assistant coach, you know, sent him back to the locker room. And so we've seen this before. Most of the time it doesn't, you know, show up during on camera, obviously. But there's clear that there's been some tension behind the scenes with this team between, I think, kind of maybe the old guard and the young guard, with the likes of, you know, Kyrie, Marcus Morris, and Marcus Smart kind of, you know, being pretty critical of Jalen and Rozier with whether it's shot selection, whether it's effort plays on defense at times. So that stuff's going to come up. But I think the biggest thing now is how's this group going to respond to this? Because they got two very winnable games now on the road, which they're 10-11 on the road in the season right now. If they don't take care of business now, this becomes a bigger story. If you win these next two games, people forget about this quickly. I think that's like, yeah, with the Smart incident a couple years ago, that's kind of how this is going to go here.
That's a good point. I don't even remember the Smart incident.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, that thing. I had completely forgotten about that.
Well, one of the things, too, is as disappointing as this team has been at times, it's not, you know, like it's been underwhelming. We had
high expectations were so high, and I think they had the same high expectations.
But
that's the thing.
They've also been kind of lucky because there's been so much other stuff going on, and the Patriots season has had so many narratives this year, and, you know, here they are now with a bye and welcoming the Chargers this weekend. Like, the spotlight hasn't been on them, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that's going to change here in the next 3 to 4 weeks, it feels like. So, you know, now is the time to get it the hell together. It doesn't feel like panic time yet, but
no,
we're getting close.
It's definitely not panic. Like, you know, it's hard. I think it's hard even for the players to sort of maintain some sort of perspective on this season, because the expectation was that this was going to be a truly special team. And they're good. I mean, they're a good team. There's no question about that. But they're not, to this point, they haven't been truly special. And so when the expectations are so high, you know, I think that can lead to frustration. And like I said, again, to me, I think they're pressing, you know, and it's like that guy who's trying to hit that home run, have that three homer game. Like, they're just looking for that, like, eureka moment. And instead of it happening sort of organically, or you look back over a 10 or 12 game stretch and suddenly you're there, they're just looking for it immediately. And when there's the first sign of a setback, I think there's frustration, and it boils over.
Things getting a little hot in Miami the other night between Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris. They also have their 4-game win streak snapped. Did it undo all the goodwill that you were maybe feeling about the Boston Celtics? Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985. This is Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut, we cut the weight.
At Planet Fitness, you can get down with your judgment-free self. Join for only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Now through January 15th. Now's the right time, you know it. Planet Fitness has cardio, weights, and locker rooms that sparkle like a glass of New Year's champagne. Only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Now through January 15th. Join in-club or online at planetfitness.com. Planet Fitness, the judgment-free zone.
Annual membership fee applies. State and local taxes may apply. Participating locations only. See club for details.
We're here to see what's new at the 99 restaurants. Hey, chef, any comfort food to warm us up?
Oh, yeah. New baked lobster mac and cheese with creamy smoked Gouda and topped with warm North Atlantic lobster meat.
Wow, you're making me hungry.
We also have crusted center-cut pork chops, pan-roasted with a lemon caper butter sauce.
Hearty meals, great deals, and now you can order online. That's what's new at the Nines.
The 99 restaurants, always a real deal.
Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots, provides great food for great fans. Grill Up Nature's Promise all-natural grade A boneless, skinless chicken breast value packs for just $2.99 a pound. See all the great deals at stopandshop.com.
Who has America's best bumper-to-bumper transferable limited warranty? Not Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai. It's the People First warranty from Volkswagen. 6 years or 72,000 miles, whichever occurs first. 6 years, that's over 189 million seconds. And you thought this 30-second spot seems long. The People First Warranty from Volkswagen.
New vehicle limited warranty on 2018 or newer VW vehicles, excluding eGolf. See owner's literature or dealer for warranty exclusions and limitations. Claim based on manufacturer's public data and length and transferability of car and SUV bumper-to-bumper basic warranty only, not based on other separate warranties.
I highly recommend SBLI to friends and family. Going with SBLI was the best choice I've made.
See why customers love SBLI. Now with even lower rates on term life insurance. To learn more, go to SBLI.com today.
Hey, it's Zell, and I'm here to tell you about CertaPro Painters. That's right, interior painting. Hey, it's that time of year, right? End of the year, you've had your Christmas parties. Maybe you're trying to get your house in shape. I'm telling you what, you want some great interior painters, you call CertaPro. They provide a customized project plan. They give you a firm estimate, stick to that estimate, and the daily progress updates if it takes more than one day. Maybe it takes weeks. Each CertaPro painter's business is independently owned and operated, which means they take care of their own business and people. That's right, right there in your own community. Be part of your neighborhood. Schedule a free estimate online at CertaPro.com.
It's the Boston RV and Camping Expo, MLK Holiday Weekend, January 18th through the 21st at the Boston Convention Center. Shop three football fields of RVs from New England's top dealers for low once-a-year show pricing. Shop campers, trailers, and motorhomes of every size. Check out over 50 campgrounds, plus seminars on RV care, safety, lifestyle, and small creature wildlife animal adventures. It's all here at the Boston RV and Camping Expo, 4 days only, January 18th through the 21st. Buy tickets at bostonrvexpo.com.
Former All-Pro wide receiver Wes Welker on restoring his hair with Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard.
We went through the procedure. Took about 4 hours. No pain involved. And about 7 days later, you couldn't even tell I had the procedure. 2 or 3 months, I started to see little sprouts, and then it just got thicker and thicker and thicker. And, you know, my wife started to notice, like, babe, I can't believe how your hair's coming in. It looks supernatural. It's your own hair. You're in and out in one day. This is awesome.
Call 1-800-GET-HAIR for your free hair loss consultation with Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Want to go to Sunday's Patriots game? Head to Lucky Strike Fenway today from 4 till 6 to hang with Adam Jones and Bud Light. Someone will win a pair of tickets, field passes, and a Brady signed football. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the New England Patriots.
Here's what's brewing. Fueled by Dunkin' on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hang with Jim Murray and Bud Light tonight from 7:30 till 9:30 at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. And you can score a pair of tickets to the divisional game, including field passes, parking, and a Brady signed football. You've got to be at least 21 to enter. Winner is responsible for taxes. Brought to you by Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the New England Patriots, and 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We just wanted to build that chemistry first, you know, just getting to know one another, really put everything out there, and then kind of move on from that point. At that point, playing against Milwaukee, we were not at rock bottom, but we needed to address this locker room. So it was just good to get stuff out in the air. As grown men, you know, guys that have expectations for themselves and want to be great, we was good to hear everybody honestly speak about what they wanted for themselves and what they wanted for the team. So that made things easier.
Sports Up Celtics Show, 98.5 is Sports Up. So that's Kyrie Irving being a little bit more open about what happened behind the scenes after that ugly loss to Milwaukee leading into Christmas. After the win at home, that wrapped up the four-game homestand against the Indiana Pacers on Wednesday night, right? Yeah, so impressive win. Maybe their best game of the season. When you have six players in double digits, they were great in the paint. Like, impressive win. Team's feeling good. Kyrie Irving. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the problems that we fixed behind the scenes. And then the next night in Miami, they lose. And you have this little scuffle that goes on at the bench between Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris. And I just thought it was telling, too, looking at that video that a fan took of that little altercation, Chris, that Kyrie Irving is just like he shakes his head at Jaylen Brown, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I thought that was very telling because the night before,
really?
Here he is. Oh, yeah, no, look at it again. Like, real quick, Kyrie shakes his head, like, oh, my God, kid, like, shut up. What are you doing? And he was loafing on defense, like you've seen before.
He was.
And this has been the most frustrating thing with this team all year, especially with the younger guys like Brown, Tatum. Their shots don't fall. There goes the defense.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
That's why you saw Marcus Morris like clap, like because Jaylen Brown's loafing on his way back. And it's like
you got to get back. You got to get back, Jaylen. Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, Kyrie Irving was right to be frustrated there because it just undid all this goodwill, this nice little homestand you had, and everything that he said after the game. And then it was Adam Himmelsbach, right, your colleague at the Globe, that said, after that loss in Miami, Kyrie just went back and just shot by himself.
Yeah,
had to work out by himself. It's not like he has to work on his shot. It's the equivalent, I said it yesterday on Felger and Maz, of if you're frustrated, you got a punching bag at home, you go down the cellar and you beat the bag out of the punching bag just to get your frustrations out. That's what
point.
He was doing.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So I think he's right to be a little bit pissed off about what happened in that game in Miami as well.
Yeah, look, it's frustrating. Now, I'm not absolving Jaylen Brown in any way, shape, or form. You know, but it is the second night of a back-to-back, and he has to be better. And I would also say I think it's been an issue all season for the Celtics, and I don't think it's just him. You know, I think Tatum has been complicit in it. I think Terry Rozier has been complicit in doing that as well. I think at times even Gordon Hayward. And when I say, you know, Hayward, I'm not saying lack of hustle or effort. I think he's had his struggles on the defensive end. But guys start sort of hanging their head and maybe lose some of their intensity defensively, and that's been an issue, I think, for the entire team. But again, I just think that you can't be a leader if no one's following you. And I think this far into the season, I think it's pretty apparent that whatever the leadership styles of Kyrie Irving, Marcus Morris, and Marcus Smart are, they're not wholly or fully effective. So maybe you want to try a slightly different approach with Jaylen Brown. And it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. You know, clapping in the face of Marcus Smart, I think, would get him going and fired up. Jaylen Brown's a different personality. Jason Tatum's a different personality. You have to know who you're dealing with. And again, to me, that's a reflection of guys in leadership positions that aren't used to really being in leadership positions.
Steve in New Hampshire, your first up here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. What did you make of this the other night?
I don't know exactly what was said, but I wonder if Jaylen Brown said something to Marcus Morris about not being on the team flight going down to Miami, because Thursday morning, Marcus Morris was flying himself out of Logan. I was talking to him at Logan Thursday morning.
Really?
Yeah, so I wonder if it was something about him not being on the team flight and Jaylen Brown threw it in his face and it just sort of set Marcus Morris off.
Hmm. No, that's news to me.
Yeah, jump on that, B-Rob.
Yeah.
start sending out some texts, B-Rob.
Brian Robb, covering the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. What are you hearing? Why did Marcus Morris fly alone and not with the team?
I mean, they flew right after the game, so I can't imagine that being, it's like he got down there 8 hours later. Like, that would be a surprising thing to be upset about
if
that was the case.
Marcus Morris was in the right because he was trying. Yeah, and he's been...
That's fair.
He's been arguably the most consistent player for the team since the season started.
He's been outstanding. And I love the edge that he plays with. But again, what I would say is that guys have roles on a team, right? And so Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, the whole reason they're in the starting lineup is because the Celtics have needed more of that intensity, more of that edge. And that's what those guys bring. But at the same time, when you turn around and you're trying to convey or relay something to your teammates, you have to know who you're talking to and how to get the most out of them. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. You can't approach... Like, don't you think that at this point in the season, Jim, that they've been very clear and they've tried the tough love thing? Like, we've tried the tough love thing. Is it working?
No, it doesn't seem
so
to
maybe
be,
you want to try something else. That's my only point. Like, I'm not absolving Jaylen Brown in any way, shape, or form. But if the tough love thing is not getting the message across, it's not being received, it's not working, it's causing more friction, then either find somebody else to deliver the message or deliver a different message.
It's
pretty simple.
Gary in Rhode Island. How much blame do you put on Brad Stevens for what's going on with this team?
I'm an old school Celtics fan. Trust me, I'm 58 years old. I've been watching them every minute of their seasons. But anyway, I think the minutes. When somebody's hot, he's pulling people out, and I'm getting so frustrated. The shot selection isn't ideal, but I'll live with it. That's the NBA we're in right now. But I think the minutes. They're only playing 28 minutes to, 32 minutes. I know, I get it, the playoffs and all, but you know something? Some nights you got to play somebody 38 minutes. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, in terms of how he's doling out playing time, how the starting five has continued to look, I don't know.
It's hard. I mean, ideally you do it the way that he's talking about, and I think they've gotten a little better the last couple of games about sort of riding the hot hand. But at the same time, if you don't give guys minutes, right, then when you need them, are they going to be ready? Are they going to be capable of doing it? I mean, the reality is, they do have an issue with too many talented players and not enough minutes. I mean, it's a 48-minute game. There's only so many minutes that can be doled out, and you have to sort of figure that out. And I think it's harder sometimes for young players to get mothballed for a game or have their minutes decline and then come back and be the same type of player when you need him to be. And I think Brad knows that, and that's one of the reasons he tries to keep those guys engaged and involved, even on nights when maybe they don't have it. But I mean, I thought he certainly yanked the minutes from Jaylen Brown in Miami.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be a problem there.
Now, he would ostensibly be part of this team's future, so B-Rob, but what do they do here? Like, Marcus Morris has been, again, like arguably the most consistent player on this team the whole year. He's not going to end up factoring into this team's future, but it just feels like something has to give here. So in terms of a trade, do you still see something happening? Because Danny Ainge still makes it sound like nothing's going to happen between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's a tough one, Jim, because with Morris, like you said, he's probably not going to be here unless, things go right in free agency. But if you move him now, like try to sell high on him, what message does that send to the rest of the team? That's one of your best players this year. You're supposed to be going for it this year. And then on the flip side, okay, maybe you like mix things up with the young guys like Jaylen or Rozier, but you're still might need those guys for trades in the offseason. So you're not going to move one of those guys now and potentially hurt yourself in the standing for the Anthony Davis chase or another all-star that becomes available. So when Danny Ainge says this is kind of what we are and we're going to stick with it, I kind of believe him in terms of, maybe you can make a move around the borders, but in terms of your core, unless things really blow up in the next month, I don't think they're going to. I think this is what they got, and they got to kind of make it work.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I tend to believe them because it just feels like, you don't want to move assets too soon. You have to try to factor in Anthony Davis in the summer. And Morris, I'm with you 100% on that. Is if they were to move Marcus Morris to try to appease the younger players, then you're coddling them and you're enabling bad behavior.
That's fair, yeah.
Maz has talked about this, the sense of entitlement from Jaylen Brown this year, that's so frustrating. Where does this come from? Because you got to within a game of the finals last year, and maybe you look at Kyrie Irving as almost a pain in the ass, and why are you talking about this? Because we essentially got there without you because you got injured last year. Just, there's a bad mix there. It doesn't feel like it's getting better. Anytime when it feels like it does, something happens like it happened in Miami, and it undoes, it just undoes everything.
But that's sort of one of my larger points, though, Jim. Again, what happened in Miami, and I understand the frustration from Marcus Morris, and he's in the right and Jaylen Brown's in the wrong. But again, I just feel like the team is too emotional and too volatile. Why should one loss on the second night of a back-to-back undo everything that you've... Why are they it's okay for us to say that.
Fragile.
But why do they act like that? Why do they respond like one loss on the second night of a back-to-back undoes everything that they've accomplished, everything that they've done after the team meeting? That's for us. That's not for them. That's a problem. If you have that volatile and sensitive a room, then you have a problem because that means you're not a mentally tough team.
All right. Want to continue to get your thoughts on what happened in Miami the other night? 617-779-0985. Maybe we're overreacting to it. McCone, I want your thoughts on this, too, because you're a hoop head, so we'll get to you, too. And before McCone's headlines here, I do want to let you know, though, Patrice Bergeron and Tutcher and Rich once again present Pucks and Paddles. This is the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It's going to be taking place Thursday, February 7th at Royal Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Tutcher and Rich, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others. VIP tickets are $200. It gives you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets, just $50. If you want more information and to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com for the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It's Pucks and Paddles. Here's McCone with the Hub headlines. I'm back after this with the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
The excitement is building for another banner.
Wrap for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know what type of team they are. I don't think they know who their go-to guys are.
Kyrie, big first half, 17 points.
And they're down 20.
Yeah.
That's not good. I think the Celtics are going to win the Eastern Conference. I think they got to make a trade.
You're the Boston Celtics at 25-16. To find yourself in a situation where you continue to be roller coaster, where players are shoving one another, like Morris shoving Jaylen Brown in the huddle and what have you. These are the kind of things that's concerning me, because I didn't expect to see this from a Brad Stevens team who we talked about last year as being the best young coach in basketball, his brilliance, et cetera, et cetera. But because of the implementation of Gordon Hayward trying to reingratiate him back into things, how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's game has suffered, Kyrie Irving being back, et cetera, et cetera. They got impressive individual parts, Max. But as a team, there are still too many questions for my liking, and I'm starting to get concerned to the point where I'm almost on the verge of agreeing with what Charles Barkley said.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 Sports Hub. Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith on the roller coaster Celtics.
Is there anything in life that you hate as much as Barkley hates the Celtics?
I hate a lot of things, Chris. We don't have enough time to fill that.
But you're just so irrationally biased against them.
Yeah, it does bug me because he's irrationally biased. And the thing that bothers me more than anything else, he doesn't watch them other than the nights that they have to cover them on a national.
Oh, well, it's just a preview of the NCAA tournament where he has no idea. Like every team needs to pound the ball in the paint. You know, even though everybody knows that college basketball is all about dribble drive and shooting the three. Right. But he thinks every team that has anybody over 6'8" needs to pound the ball in the paint. That's always his go-to halftime analysis during the NCAA tournament.
And he gets millions to say the same thing over and over and over again. Dare to dream, Chris. Maybe it's just envy. Yeah. That's where we're coming from. But it is, we were talking about this on Phil Gramaz a little bit yesterday. Celtics 8-2 on the second night of back-to-backs last year. This year, 2-5. And that has, I think that's also very telling when it comes to their lack of chemistry, lack of intestinal fortitude. Like, it's just indicative of the issues that have been going on with this team this whole year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think it's, in the NBA, you look at it. I mean, Indiana came in here and the Celtics looked great. They were on the second night of a back-to-back on the road and in the middle of a five-game road trip for them. I think the Celtics' performance on the second night of back-to-backs the last couple of years, for me, that's more the outlier. I can't explain that. I don't know why they were so good, because normally teams are not. But it is a little disconcerting that this is something that's been, a big part of what they've done, and now it's not. 2-5 on the second night of back-to-backs is not good, and it could be indicative of a lack of focus or a lack of mental toughness.
Tim McCone, you're one of the resident hoop heads here at the Sports Hub. What do you make of all this mess? Did what happened in Miami undo any of the good feelings you might have had about this team after the homestand and the win over Indiana?
No, I think it's all a concern, honestly, at this point. And I would have thought, and I was one of those guys that was going to give this team a lot longer than a lot of other people, but at this point, I think there's got to be some sort of like trade that kind of shakes things up a little bit here if you're going to get things back on track. Because this group right now, I think at some point you would have seen a little more from them. They're actually going to make a run. I don't see that happening as the team currently is.
Let's go to Peter in Jamaica Plain. I take it you think that we're all overreacting to what happened in Miami.
I do, because I think the previous four games was the best basketball they played in the Brad Stevens era. Over 30 assists per game, 7 or 8. Even 9 guys scoring in double figures, great defense. I think if they had won the Miami game, we'd be talking about how great they're playing. The problem for Brad Stevens is they got 7 big-time scorers, 7 big-time scorers on that team. I think the obvious choice to trade would be Jaylen Brown, but next year they're coming up. Marcus Morris is a free agent. Terry Rozier is a free agent. Kyrie's a free agent. So, I mean, those are three big-time scorers right there. And, you know, there's no, everyone talks about Kyrie, but there's no guarantee his knee won't go. And there's no 100% guarantee that he's not going to go to the Knicks. So I think they ride the storm, okay? They learn to play as good as they had played before the Miami game. When they were playing before the Miami game, they were as good as anyone in basketball.
Yeah, Peter, I had to let you go on that, but yeah, you're right on that.
I mean, no, they were fantastic. Yeah. I mean, and I still think, look, we shouldn't discount that. Like, I still think they're capable of that, and they've shown that. And I thought they made some real strides there.
It's something he did touch on, though, that you've been harping on since he made the announcement to all the season ticket holders. You don't think it's any guarantee that Kyrie is back, and if this continues to be ugly behind the scenes. You feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, that could affect his decision. Yeah. I mean, that could definitely, if he feels like the team, you know, doesn't have cohesion, that they don't have chemistry, that he needs to have more times where he just sort of, you know, takes himself out of the picture and goes and does the post-game workout. Or if he feels like maybe the team's not accepting his leadership, or this group of guys is harder to lead than I thought. Those are all things that could affect his decision.
John in Northborough, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I think, you know, with the Celtics, I think it's a case of, you know, subtraction by addition. You know, especially, you know, on a basketball team, you've only got five guys. It's not like a football team or a baseball team. And, you bring Kyrie Irving back. You bring Hayward back, you know, these are max contract guys, superstars in the league. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to equate to success in the court after you had the kind of chemistry that you saw coming together last year with Brown, with Tatum, with Horford.
No, I mean, that's definitely true. And I think there's, to some degree, and I have to give a lot of credit to Gordon Hayward, because for a guy of his stature in the NBA, I think he's done a tremendous job of sort of accepting what his new role is on this team at this time, given where he is and his comeback. You know, you really haven't heard a peep out of that guy. There have been some issues in terms of, you know, on the court. You'd like to see some more consistency from him, but you're starting to see that. He's starting to knock down those threes. You know, defensively, I think he's physically limited, but I think he's really a model of how you should be handling your role. I give him full credit for that. But I think overall, some of these young guys look at it and say, well, why do I have to sacrifice just because I'm young? Like, it's just because I'm young. That's why I have to have a lesser role, because you're a veteran. No, this should be a meritocracy. Like, we should play the best guys. And I think that's sort of where you're seeing some of the issues. You know, because I do think some of the veterans have this idea of you should fade to the background because you're young and wait your turn. And it's like, well, what do you mean, wait our turn? Our turn was the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 last year.
Peter in Plymouth on Jaylen Brown. You're next door on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, I see it as a total overreaction, because I see the defense starting to take a lead. And you look at Morris and you look at Smart, and they're becoming the true leaders of the Celtics. And you can even throw Kyrie in there, because he's been vocal recently about wanting to be more of a leader. And Brad Stevens backed that up by benching Brown after the incident to show that, hey, these guys are going to lead the team. And I think that's a great thing, because with no identity with that team, they have to start with defense. And if you're going to have some kid lay on the floor and stare up the floor wondering what happened, you can't wait around for that. So I'm glad to see Brad Stevens has got to be pumping his fists behind the scenes saying, finally, somebody slap these young kids around and get them to either accept their role or play to their ability. If they played like they played up until the Game 7 of the Finals, the Eastern Conference Finals, they would be getting their minutes, and there wouldn't be any of this talk. But they're the ones that aren't holding their end. That's why I'm psyched to see people like Morris and Marcus Smart start to slap these young kids around. Marcus Smart pushed Jaylen Brown because he was siding with the situation. So
I saw that video. That didn't look like that. Marcus Smart was trying to defuse the situation to his credit. I didn't see him pushing him because he agreed. I thought he was trying to defuse the situation.
Yeah, but
I give him credit.
It's funny how he was just talking about what he thinks Brad Stevens' reaction to what happened in Miami would be, because we now know Brad Stevens spoke with Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald. We'll have some of those comments for you coming up, along with what's next for the Celtics in terms of the schedule. We'll get to that and more of your phone calls. You want to join us here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Jaylen Brown, home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dial, right corner, Ingles, contested three, swish! Utah with their largest lead, 5-86-81. They've outscored the Magic 40-18 in the second half.
All right, what's next for the Celtics? By the way, welcome back, Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray and Chris Gasper and you at 617-779-0985. It's the wretched Orlando Magic who lost their last game to the Utah Jazz, 106-93. That was their fourth straight loss. Team stinks, but let us not forget, even though the Magic suck, they did beat the Celtics for one of their worst losses of the year at home at the Garden, 93-90, back in October. So nothing a given with this roller coaster Celtics team, but that's what's next for them. The Orlando Magic tonight in Orlando at the Amway Center. Tip-off, 7 o'clock. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell going to have a call on our sister station, 105.7 WROR, to start that tonight. Again, tip-off is at 7 o'clock. To your calls, and then Brad Stevens made some comments about what happened in Miami the other night to Steve Bulpet. We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's talk to Matt in the car on the Celtics and what's going on with this team and their chemistry. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, Matt.
What's up, guys? So a lot of said about, you know, this team meshing and playing well together. And, you know, you look at teams when they're assembled and on paper, you look like they're going to, you know, they could be a contender. But let's just show you, you know, what it means to give up the individual statistics to come together for something bigger like the team did 10 years ago. Players who had failed in other places, had all the personal accolades that they want, but never got the title. And I think it's different when you have a team that's young like this and these players say the right things. And when they get on the court, you know, the other night was a classic example about a guy not getting back and then being called out and the immaturity of the guys fighting on the bench. I just feel like we took for granted what that situation was and how unique it was for those players, and to think that you can resemble that by just putting quote-unquote superstars in this day and age together. And I just think that that's their biggest flaw. The talent's there, but sometimes the ability to put your personal things aside for the better of the team, that's what's missing.
Yeah, and Matt, I've made the apology a few times now. Let me do it again for those I might have offended during the end of the, as I refer to them as the Bridgie Celtics, to Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, those guys, you know, because they hit the ceiling, called them the Bridgies. They were just the bridge to what they were going to. At least they tried every night. I'm sorry. I know I mocked them, and I ultimately was right about them because, you know, Danny Ainge blew it up. But, you know, a lesser man would sit here and crow about that. I won't do that. No, I apologize, because at least they gave you max effort night in, night out. And you didn't see the kind of bitchiness that you see with this year's team.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, but it's different. And I think to the caller's point, you have guys that have a certain pedigree, right? So, you know, you're Kyrie Irving. You've won a championship. You were the number one overall pick. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were number three overall picks. Gordon Hayward's been an all-star in the league. And I'm obviously not all these guys are you know, part of the problem. But I'm just listing off the roster. It's a little different than your Jay Crowders and your Isaiah Thomases, you know, guys who are trying to prove, you know, I belong in the league, or reclamation projects like Evan Turner, who was great when he was here. That's just a little bit different. And I think, you know, these are guys, like I said, with a certain amount of pedigree. And with that comes confidence, which sometimes can become arrogance.
Calvina in Dorchester, your thoughts on what's going on with the Celtics right now. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you.
I'm good. I'm going to be brief because I know you guys got other calls. The problem with the Celtics is when earlier in the season, before the season started, guys were spouting up at the mouth. Jaylen Brown, you know. Not only that, I see when these guys start missing threes, when they start missing shots, the young guys, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they stop giving effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're right. They check out on D.
They check out. And, you know, like you said, Jim, about the other teams like Isaiah Thomas, you don't need to apologize for that, because at least you know they tried every night. Regardless if they missed shots, you know, at least you know they gave effort. When these young guys, they miss threes and everything, They stopped giving effort. They stopped playing defense, you know? You guys have a nice day.
You too. Thanks, Kelvin. That's the thing that drives me nuts. And that's been one of the more consistent things you've seen in terms of things that will frustrate you as a fan or media member that watches the team, is when it doesn't work specifically for those two, Brown and Tatum. The shots don't drop. There goes the defense. And that's going to drive Stevens and nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why you see Marcus Morris clapping in the face of Jaylen Brown the other night in Miami, and you had this whole thing that happened. So what did Brad Stevens think about it? There's a post from Steve Bolpet, who covers the Celtics for the Boston Herald. He just posted at bostonherald.com. But here's the money quote. What did Stevens think about what happened in Miami? Everyone else was watching Marcus Morris and Jaylen. How about Marcus Smart breaking it up? Talk about growth. Holy smokes. I thought he would be in the middle of one of those. You guys all looked at it as a negative. I could not believe what I was seeing. So he's looking at this as a positive. At least that's what he's spinning it as. But it was Marcus Smart. He liked that he was trying to break this thing up. That's where you're seeing some leadership. I find it kind of funny because I read this and I can't not think of Adam Jones and how he does his Brad Stevens impersonation at night here on the Sports Hub. It says, oh, gee willikers. Of course he has to say, holy smokes. Talk about growth. Holy smokes.
He's trying to put a positive.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was joking a little bit there, too.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just saw the video just now.
Oh, yeah?
It was like, you know, tongue-in-cheek type
comment.
So it's
kind of deadpan. Yeah. Here's an interesting quote. I just wanted Marcus Morris. This is our good friend Chris Forsberg tweeted this out. You know, Marcus Morris, I feel as though I'm one of the leaders on this team. So if I have an engagement with any of my teammates, we all know that it's basketball related and it goes nothing past the court. Just two guys that both care about the game, and that's all it was. So again, I don't want to couch this the wrong way. I love Marcus Morris. I loved him last year. I love his game. Who anointed him one of the leaders on this team?
No, probably just himself.
Well, yeah, that's a little bit of an issue. Like, I'm sorry. Again, you can't just anoint, you know, it's like, again, I always use this reference, right? It's like Seinfeld with the nicknames. You can't just say you're T-Bone. Like, yeah. That's not your nickname. Like, you can't just say that's your nickname. You can't just say you're one of the leaders on the team. You can be a lead by example guy. But, you know, if you have to come out and say, I feel like I'm one of the leaders on this team, you're probably not.
You know, B-Rob, again, covering this team for Boston Sports Journal, I feel like you're always in the scrum. I feel like you've built a little bit of a rapport with the coach. How do you really think that he feels about all this? Because he was saying some stuff that I thought was out of character and great to hear, especially when they had that hideous loss before Thanksgiving to the Knicks, where he was just like, hey, you know, remember in the preseason, too, he's like, we're not as good as we think that we are. I don't know, is he couching things now because he just realizes, hey, this is what it is and it's really not going to be fixed?
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been a very challenging year for him. There's no question about it with those comments you mentioned, Jim. And yeah, like the way he reacted there, it's like, of course they're going to, no matter if there are issues behind the scenes, they're going to put on a positive front here, a positive spin on as much as they can, because, you know, what else are you going to do here? So have they turned a corner based on these last four games, or is the inconsistency that we saw in that game on Thursday night more of who they are? You know, we've obviously been fooled before during the season, but I think that's why, again, this next month, we'll tell the tale here, just how much, you know, this matters and how much Stevens, you know, kind of does view this as a positive or view it as something that, you know, could linger down the line.
Let's go to Walter in West Boylston, who wants to talk about Brad Stevens. Hello, Walter.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? So I'm a huge Brad bot. I'm, you know, the biggest Brad Stevens fan, but I think that he needs to be more about the action. Like, he keeps coming out and saying these different things, but he's got to start sitting people. And for him to come out and kind of make a joke of this, you know, this dust up, obviously he's not going to, he's going to keep it in house, but it's just getting to a point where it's like, and it makes sense because he was a college coach, and that's one thing you don't really have to deal with in college. But I just feel like for us to have three player only meetings that he doesn't know about, and then to have him have responses like this, it's just not a great look. That's all. So
yeah, I agree. And thanks for the call, Walter. Yeah, no, it just seems like they can't get out of their own way. They undo goodwill after a game like they have against Indiana with this thing that happened in Miami. And I'll tell you right now, all you'll need to see is what happens tonight. Like, okay, they should in theory beat up an Orlando team, so you can't take too much out of it. Unless they lose, then you can take a lot out of it. Then you know there's real problems because the Magic stink. That will wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show for now. We will, of course, we'll do it again next Saturday at noon, but we'll continue to take any Celtics calls.
And then we'll be talking about their win over the Raptors, and we won't remember any
of this. Yeah, right. This will be
awesome. Because they're playing the Raptors on Wednesday, which is a huge statement game. Yeah. So if they win their games between now and, you know, and then.
Can all be moot.
We won't even remember we discussed any of this stuff, and neither will they.
But we have to get back to the Patriots, of course, have their divisional playoff game on tap for tomorrow. 24 hours, or now less than 24 hours from now, Gillette Stadium, Patriots, Chargers. We'll get right to that here in our long commercial-free segment. First, though, Tim McCone will get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, including an update on one Charlie McAvoy. Will he play with the Bruins tonight? So he'll tell you about that. And then we'll get right to the Pats right after this here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.